Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
Sponsored by Serta Pro Painters.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
A holiday feels like a Friday. So when they say it's the Friday edition of Hancock and Kelly, it's a holiday, John. So it feels like a Friday, doesn't it?
Well, it does. Here, I finally found my seat over here.
Yeah, it was nice of you to finally make it in the studio.
Yeah. We're here on a lot of holidays.
Yeah.
Name one
we don't come in for.
Christmas.
Yeah, we're not here for Christmas.
Never been here on Christmas Day, although I was on Christmas at the Bucks.
Is that right?
Years ago. Yeah.
Did you play the piano there?
I played the piano there.
Wow. Did you wear your PJs?
Jack and Carol? No, I got dressed up.
Uh-huh.
This was one of the last ones. It was at Jay Buck's restaurant
okay.
in Clayton. And showed up and played a little piano for Jack. And he was gracious. What a great man he was. And what a part of this place he was. And still really is. You can feel the spirit of Jack Buck around
yeah.
the hallways here at the Voice of St. Louis.
Well, on Memorial Day, we're going to talk later about Memorial Day and what it means to our country, but it also is a time marker for the start of summer here. And I don't know about you, but what's more summer than Cardinal baseball? And so I attach my summers with Jack Buck. Think about him regularly. It was kind of cool on Friday night, both the Joe Buck and Chip Carey were
that
going to broadcast
amazing.
The game.
Yeah.
And we got about 30 minutes of their conversation, which was fun.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there was no game. But fortunately, the other games went well.
They have. 10 out of 12 for the Cardinals. And we'll be breaking down the Cardinals situation and their opportunities later in the show today.
Were you watching Friday night for the Buck,
yeah.
Carey?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I recorded it. I thought it was so good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Joe Buck, I feel bad for him. The hate he takes, well, I don't feel bad for him. Joe's doing all right.
He's paying his bills.
But at the end of the day, the hate he takes online, I mean, I think he is, this is blasphemy to say on KMOX, but I think he's far better than his father in terms of calling play-by-play. I think he's
Ooh.
Maybe the greatest of all time, Joe Buck.
Ooh, boy, he's great.
Yeah.
He's wonderful.
See, I'm getting in trouble for saying it.
Yeah.
But they broadcasted different styles, right?
Well, Joe does Joe's, television.
Yeah, Joe, and he's also being impartial.
And I'll tell you, Jack did a lot of national games. He did
sure.
many World Series, did a lot of football. But the thing about Jack and what sets him apart, probably he and Vin Scully, is the way on the radio where you've got to paint a picture of the game and what's happening and then weaving in stories throughout. When times are tough, there was nobody that could do that the way Jack Buck did. I remember a game we were playing the Montreal Expos, and it had been one of these 3.5 hour rain delays. So it's 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night. The Cardinals are losing 12-1 or something, and the Expos had a relief pitcher named Jeff Parrott, and so they bring this pitcher in out of the bullpen in a 12-1 game. And it's Jack and Mike, and so Jack's Jeff Parrott into the game now for the Expos. Lady went into the pet store and said, "I want a parrot." There's a swing and a miss. Roger Freed at the plate for the Cardinals. And he said, "Well, I've got one, but I can't sell it to you." And she said, "Why not?" She said, "Well, he's got a foul mouth." So anyway, he tells this parrot's joke throughout and weaves it throughout the inning like that. He was, there's.
Well, that's a
like
special
him.
Talent to be able to. It's hard to do the radio by yourself.
In fact,
almost insist that we get to do it together because talking by yourself. And when I think and listen to some of those old Vin Scully broadcasts or.
He always works solo.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Just imagine being there. I mean, just. To be that comfortable with silence,
yeah.
When your job is to tell a story,
right?
And you know, Vin Scully was just so spectacular at doing that. Do you ever go back and listen to some of his old calls?
Oh yeah. No, a lot of stuff.
And Jack Buck's old calls. That was what was cool about Friday night, as they played some of those.
Yeah.
We will see you tomorrow night.
And I remember like it was yesterday. Jack Buck calling Bob Gibson's no-hitter in August of 1971. I was a seven-year-old little boy, gotten scolded and sent to my room for the night.
I know.
Can't remember what I did, but sure
yeah,
it wasn't
you did
good. I'm sure I did. And so I listened to that game on the radio, and Jack called the game, and Gibson is his only no-hitter. As great of a career as he had, he threw this one no-hitter. And the ninth inning was Vic Davalio, Al Oliver, and Willie Stargell up for the Pirates. And Jack knocked him down 1-2-3, struck out Stargell to end the game. And Jack's call, I'll never forget that. He was a master.
He really was special. Boy, we're spoiled in St. Louis, right? We've had him. We had, Harry Carey.
Harry Carey. Now, you don't remember. Harry was before your time.
Oh, yeah.
I caught the tail end of Harry's career with the Cardinals when I was a wee little lad. He was let go by the ball club and ended up, he did some White Sox for a while. I think he maybe did another team and then famously settled in with the Chicago Cubs, where because of the power of WGN in the early days of cable television, he became a national figure. And what a colorful broadcaster Harry Carey was.
Yeah, well, you got Bob Costas, you got Dan Dierdorf, our own Tom Ackerman, man. He's doing basketball all over the country. I don't know about you, but during college basketball season, I like to flip through the stations, and all of a sudden I'll be like, I know that voice.
Tommy does a great job, and he's been doing some Cardinal games the last couple of seasons, and he's been outstanding.
He's excellent on the Cardinal games.
Yeah, he's been outstanding there. And, of course, way back we had Joe Garagiola was in the Cardinal booth for a while, and he went on and became very famous nationally, not just as a baseball announcer, but he was one of the hosts of the Today Show at one point.
And do you remember Dan Kelly?
Oh,
the voice of the St. Louis Blues and so tied to KMOX. And, you know, he was a big voice, not only in America, but in Canada.
He was the voice of hockey. And to this day, I don't think there's the guy that just retired, Doc Emmerich, who did the Stanley Cup Finals the year the Blues won, he was phenomenal, too. But Dan Kelly, I mean, he was the go-to voice of hockey all across North America. Speaking of North America.
Okay.
Later on in the show today, Michael.
Yes.
We're going to have, I'm so excited, perhaps the greatest snooker player ever produced by the nation of Canada.
Wow.
Former world champion, former number one, Cliff Thorburn. He was the 1980 world snooker champion, won at the Crucible, got the first perfect game.
Can you imagine coming from Canada and being the best snooker player in the world? There can't be many other snooker players in Canada, period.
He was the first non-Brit to win the world championship.
Is that right?
And he's going to join us later today.
I'm interested in how he learned about the game. Where did it first? Because your situation's unique, right? You were watching on YouTube.
Yeah.
And now look at you. You're an obsessed weirdo.
I don't like to talk.
So what happened with Cliff is the question.
Well, he got a lot better than I did.
Yeah.
And he had a style. Well, we'll get into all of that later. Just there's so much to do, so much to talk about. And, you know, so little live radio in the area this morning. I've listened to kind of flip the dial a little bit this morning, and everybody's got pre-recorded stuff on. No, not here.
My car doesn't allow me to flip to any other
is
station,
that right?
So I'm glad you were able to check it out. But you should keep it tuned to KMOX right here at 1120 AM or 98.7 FM. Do you have you ever done that, the 98.7 FM?
Oh, sure, yeah.
And stereo?
Yeah, it's
I'm beautiful
nice.
In stereo.
Well,
brother.
We sound like NPR when you get us in stereo.
And then you got the Odyssey app,
right?
Which is kind of a pain to download, but once you have it, you will be addicted to it.
Once you have it, you have it.
Yeah.
And you can get all the podcasts on there.
Yeah.
If you want to, you know,
go
if
back
you
and
happen to want to listen to Chris and Amy, for example.
Who would do that?
You can go do it. You can find them right there.
Hancock and Kelly 24/7.
You could. You got the Glover show there. You could pull up.
We are going to stick around today till 11 o'clock. What's happening after us?
We've got CBS special programming at 11 o'clock today.
Oh, so we're going to take you all the way to special programming and then Cardinal baseball.
Yeah, what is the
CBS
special programming, James? Do we know? James O'Sullivan working the board. He's shaking his head.
See, I like the special programming. On Sunday mornings before you and I do our show, or before we do our little visit with Scott, they have a Mormon presentation. The music from the Mormon
Tabernacle Choir.
Man, the dude's voice. Who does the introduction of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Yeah.
And then he says to you at the very end, you've been listening to, I mean, it's just it's a magical little 45 minutes. I get sucked into it, and I mainly am waiting to listen to that guy's voice.
Wow. Yeah. What are they singing these days?
Lots of Jesus songs. You would like it. There's, you know, there's harmonies, there's melodies. I don't know. You know, sometimes when they do those chants,
they got harmonies and melodies.
Yeah,
in the choir,
they you don't really understand what they're saying.
Choir out there producing melodies and harmonies. That's some good stuff we have here on the Voice of St. Louis.
He's John Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly. Harmonies when we come melodies. Back, we're going to talk about yesterday's weather.
Yeah.
We've got so much going on. Stick around. We're with you till 11 o'clock right here on KMOX.
2 men out, nobody on. Bottom of the ninth, 11-0 Cardinals. 1-1 on Stargell. The pitch on the way, and a swing and a miss. Strike two. A good low breaking ball. And Gibson is one strike away from the no-hitter. He takes off his cap. He mops his brow. He looks in and gets the sign. He starts the windup. Here's the pitch, and it's a strike called. A no-hitter for Gibson. Simmons roars to the mound. Embraces Gibson, who's engulfed by his teammates. As the Cardinals win the game 11-0.
Bad weather in the region last night, John Hancock, and lots of sport on television, so you probably were in front of the old boob tube like myself.
Well, we had, you had the basketball, which, by the way, these NBA conference finals, I mean, I suppose they're both 3-0.
Right.
You know, I like to see playoffs that are, you know, 7-game series. And
yeah. Well, you should have been watching some of the earlier rounds. They were a little bit tighter. I think we're headed towards a pretty good final, and I think our own Jason Tatum may pull it out.
Yeah, Celtics are going to win that thing. That's right. No question. Now, the hockey playoffs have been pretty darn good.
Yeah, they have. Who are you rooting for?
I would like Matthew Tkachuk and the Florida Panthers to advance, but it would be better for hockey if the New York Rangers made the Stanley Cup Finals.
That Tkachuk is a beast, man.
Oh, he's a tough
when he
hombre.
Gets in front of the net, I don't even know how the keeper can see anything.
Yeah.
Because he's like a wall there.
Yeah, and he's tough, and he's a chirper, and, really a great style of old-school hockey.
So I was flipping through the stations yesterday. I was informed by the weather teams. I don't know if you guys know this, but the weather team guys, they're there on your side. They are there watching the weather. They're keeping their eyes out just for you, John. And
that's awful nice of them.
And I was thinking about you because they were showing like radars and the weatherman was saying, I want you to do this. I want you to go to the basement. I want you to put your head down. And I thought, how about this? The weather guy's talking to me.
Yeah.
This is what he wants me to do. But he kept saying,
you don't have a basement.
No. But he kept saying to me, he was on my side. But he kept saying to me, there is hail in Chesterfield. And so I was thinking.
We didn't have any hail.
You didn't?
No. There was hail in Wildwood, but there was no hail in Chesterfield.
Have you ever been through hail?
And, oh, yes.
Now, when they say softball size hail.
That's a big piece of hail.
I think it's an exaggeratory word because I've never seen softball sized hail. I've never even seen it in videos. What, like people, pea size, nickel size. But when they say golf ball, baseball size hail, have you ever seen baseball sized hail?
I've seen golf ball sized hail.
Have you? Where?
I have. Well, not last night, but I mean I've seen it.
Uh-huh.
It exists in the world.
It's kind of freaky, right?
But I've not seen the softball size. No,
yeah. I mean,
that's a big. You know, you think about a softball.
It's huge.
That's a big round ball of hail, right?
The
there.
One lady said
that'd
the other day, when she was on my side, she said there was hail the size of tennis balls and baseballs, and I started to think to myself. Those are pretty much the same size, aren't they?
They're very close. Baseball's a little bigger.
Is it?
Than a tennis ball, yeah.
But that's
a precise measure. I mean, if you're differentiating between a tennis ball-sized hail and a baseball-sized hail,
right.
You're making a pretty fine distinction there.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but I did not have any hail yesterday. Now, we had some steady winds. I have lots of friends of mine who are on Facebook and Instagram.
Are we going to do anything that we put on the sheet here that we're going to talk
slicing
about?
Slicing up trees.
Just
and
asking for a friend.
All the trees that have fallen down, etc.
Go through all this show preparation and sit down here and he starts babbling on about golf balls.
I wanted to ask you about the weather because we had quite a bad day for weather yesterday and I didn't know if you had experienced
it. It wasn't that bad. So, I don't like to talk, but I looked at my hamburger patties.
Right.
And I looked at my wife and I said, sweetheart,
uh-huh.
if we're going to eat these hamburgers tonight, we better put the grill on right now.
Really?
Yes. And I pulled those puppies off the grill, Michael, approximately 30 seconds before the rain started.
Is that right?
Yes. And they were good.
What it do to the, because you, your backyard was saturated with the cicadas.
Wiped them out. It was amazing. So even this morning, they weren't up, they weren't talking. They were all in bed.
Uh-huh.
But during the rainstorm, they
gone.
It's like they're not there. They're now, not were hanging they, off the trees.
I was going to say, are they still kind of crawling around the base of your trees and all
and
that
the house.
Stuff?
They get on the house.
You have them in your house?
No. On the house.
On the house.
On the exterior of the house. And they just kind of.
And had they fallen off or?
Oh, yeah.
And did you see?
Yeah, it kind of looks like my patio kind of looks like the Battle of Gettysburg. Yeah, you know, you got all of these, you know, cicadas thrown all over the place. And yeah.
It's freaky in that there are places around town that the cicadas have overwhelmed and taken over places.
We've
and then there's
it.
Other places that they are not even existent. I continue to make the case they're not in Forest Park.
Well, because they've like everybody else, they've moved out of the city. So, you know, they're out there in Chesterfield and O'Fallon. And that's where
you think that's what it is?
Yeah. They, you want to be a cicada in downtown St. Louis?
You think they want to be close to Home Depot,
Taking your life in your hands out there.
Has the dog messed with the cicadas?
Oh, so the second brood. So the first brood came out, three weeks ago, and Gus was impervious. They didn't pay any. The second brood came out.
Right.
And these things stink. If you've got a lot of cicadas, they don't smell good.
Really?
I mean, they leave
What's it smell like?
Cicada.
Shrimp?
You just disgusting kind of a, you know.
Uh-huh.
And Gus, it was rolling around in the
he likes the smell.
He was rolling around in the cicadas, and we said, "Don't do that, Gus."
Did you have to wash them after that?
So yeah, when you take them out in the rain.
Yeah,
and so that's what he did.
That's nasty.
It was not good.
That is nasty. Well,
although we've got the fine folks from Four Pretty Paws coming by next week.
Now, this guy, he brings the truck, and they wash the dog in the truck in front of your house,
yes,
right?
Yes, they pull up the beautiful van, says Four Pretty Paws on it.
Yeah.
And the gal, Emily, a lot of times, comes out. She takes the dog, walks the dog into the, and they've got the hole, the shower, the clipping.
Nice.
The nails. If you want to get your nails done.
Now, Gus, I know gets a little excited when he sees people coming to the house. Does he get excited when the paw people show up?
Yeah.
No, he hides.
First 10 minutes. No, he doesn't hide. First 10 minutes of that experience is not pleasant for anyone.
It's a bit traumatic.
Yeah, but once he's in the tub. And he's getting washed. He settles down pretty good.
It would be hard to be a dog and not get to decide when you're going to get cleaned up. You know, like it's all left to somebody else to decide when you're going to get to, smell well. Because I like to, buddy, last night, because of the rain and stuff, I didn't go out.
Yeah.
And so it was so awesome. About 8 o'clock, I went and took my shower.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than taking a shower.
And you're one of these people that takes two or three showers a day,
I got in my bed, and, you know, I had my bed. I had done my laundry yesterday during the rain.
Fresh sheets.
So I just kind of got into the sheets, and I was clean, and it was lovely.
That is lovely.
I couldn't imagine being a dog and not getting to decide to be that way. Yeah, I was glad you weren't there, too.
Yeah, no. Are we going to play snooker today?
We're going to do something. We're going to play some type of billiard, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going
to
do
We're going to have to go out to Snookerville.
Well, we'll have
play
to
the hell out, heck out there.
We'll see. We'll find out what's going to happen. But the news is going to happen next. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Adrian Sharp, the Missouri Historical Society Managing Director of Communications, and previewing what's about to happen at the Soldiers Memorial events today downtown right here in St. Louis on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
That's right, Cardinal baseball coming at you later this afternoon for your Memorial Day. But right now we go to the Celebrity Grass Line, where we're joined by Adrian Sharp. She's with the Missouri Historical Society. She's the Managing Director of Communications. And very shortly, Adrian, at 10 o'clock right here in downtown St. Louis, we've got a Soldiers Memorial Day celebration. Tell us all about it.
Yes, we do. We're honored to be able to host the celebration this year. The 399th Army Band's Jazz Quintet is going to be joining us. They're going to play national anthems and do taps. there's going to be a POWMIA remembrance service by the St. Louis Service Women's Post 404. Also, American Legion Districts 11 and 12 and Post 77 are going to be represented in that ceremony. And we're going to have guests have yellow carnations out to represent the Gold Star families. And we're going to have people walk and lay them out at all six of the war memorials that we have down there.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing what's been done to the war memorial over the last several years, completely a facelift. A lot of folks may not have had an opportunity to enjoy the new facility. And coming down, starting at 10 o'clock this morning, you're going to have a lot of events. But that place, that war memorial, Soldiers Memorial in St. Louis, is really something. Tell us all of the new displays and things that are going on there on a regular basis.
So we have one thing that many people may not know is that we have a space downstairs that is a traveling exhibit space. And that space right now houses a wonderful, wonderful exhibit to Vietnam. It's called Vietnam at War and at Home. And it walks our visitors through what Vietnam was like with boots on the ground over in Vietnam. And then it lets you take a break and come back over and walk through what the experience was like for those here at home in St. Louis and the people who were, you know, whether they were supporting or opposing, or the people who were writing letters back to find out what was happening with their loved ones. And so, you know, we've done some great renovations over at the Court of Honor where you can walk through and really take time to look at those who have, you know, given the ultimate sacrifice to our country here. So it's just been a really great time to really grow Soldiers Memorial Military Museum and let everybody in St. Louis know just how dedicated we are to the community.
Yeah, you know, Vietnam, interestingly enough, I believe, was the last war that where America employed the draft to get people. Since Vietnam, our military has been a volunteer force, and it had been a volunteer force before as well. That's unique in world history to have a military as mighty as the United States that's all made up of volunteers. That's really quite a gift, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, just looking at how far we have come, you know, from, you know, how the wartime and our soldiers live, you know, in the Vietnam exhibit, there's a point where you can put in your birthday. And based on that, it'll tell you whether you would have been up for the draft and you put in all these good things. So, it's, you know, it's really a testament to where we've come and how much people want to serve our country.
And so today's festivities get underway at 10 o'clock. There's plenty of free parking all around. Give us the exact address so that people can put that into their GPS and get right down here.
So the exact address for Soldiers Memorial is going to be 1315 Chestnut Street.
Awesome. And that all takes place at 10 o'clock. She's Adrienne Sharp with the Missouri Historical Society. She's the Managing Director of Communications, and she invites you to join us as we honor our fallen American heroes today on Memorial Day. Adrienne, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
John, you know, growing up, Memorial Day was, you know, the start of the summer and the start of barbecue season. And the older you get, and we've been through these conflicts, and I've known people who've gone to war, known people who've lost their lives at war, mm-hmm. and you start to realize that it's not just a summer celebration. And hopefully a lot of people will take that moment to remember those who've given everything for our country.
You know, you think about, and I think about, my father, who was in the Army just after the end of World War II, his great-grandfather, who he knew, fought in the Civil War. And,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, that history, the Civil War, the bloodiest conflict in the history of this country, is not really that far removed from us when you think of the broad swath of history. Our country's young. There were people that fought in the Civil War that knew people that fought in the Revolutionary War. And then you had people who served, I'm thinking of Theodore Roosevelt Jr., who served in both World War I and then re-enlisted in World War II. He had walked around with a cane at that point. And insisted on, and they let him, commanded one of the boats that landed on Omaha Beach on D-Day.
Really?
And got out of the boat with his cane, walked up the mound. He was taken incoming from the Germans, redirected his troops from the path that had been designed because he saw what the lay of the land, and they followed him. And he survived D-Day, and of course that was a tremendous victory for this country and for the world when the D-Day invasion was successful. And Theodore Roosevelt Jr., later on in the war, while he was still overseas, succumbed to pneumonia. He died before the end of World War II. And, there's heroes like that throughout the course of America's military history. The people who fought and liberated Kuwait back in 1990, some of the bravest soldiers, and they took on, and I remember there was so much fear about the Republican Guard.
Right.
Saddam Hussein's Republican Guard and the American troops and the tanks just marched right through them, and they freed the country of Kuwait. America, since the Mexican War in the 1840s, since that time, when we fight in a war, the only land we've ever taken from anybody is land to bury our dead. America is not a force that goes out trying to conquer the world. We're trying to free the world and instill democracy and democratic values throughout the world. We're not Russia invading a sovereign country of Ukraine, trying to take over and seize their land and destroy their government. Our military and our military heroes are worthy of being remembered today.
And we thank everyone for their service, for what they've done for this country. God bless you all. He's John Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly. When we come back, politics in the nation moves on. There's a president under trial. It could end next week. We'll talk about it after this on KMOX. John, it's almost June.
It is.
We have an election in November.
We do.
Pretty soon we'll have both of the candidates legally certified for the ballot. That'd be President Biden and President Trump facing off against each other, an exact repeat of the previous election. What's different? Well, this time, by this time next week, Donald Trump could be a convicted felon.
Yeah, he could. I don't think he will be. And I think this case... I never was a fan of this case, and I'm less of a fan of this case now that it's been tried and they've had the witnesses and so forth. What they're trying to do is he falsified business records. That's true. He paid off a porn star, which, that used to be bad for your political career. But he paid off a porn star. Had his lawyer pay her off with his money, and then he reimbursed the lawyer for paying off the porn star, and they booked it on the business account as legal fees, which means it was pre-tax revenue.
Right.
So he falsified his business records. Typically, when you falsify business records, you get a fine. They flag you. You pay the fine, and you pay the taxes you owed, and then you pay the penalties and interest that accrue. In that case, is done. In this instance, they took the falsified business records, which is true, and they have now conflated it with he did that to conceal the payment and didn't report it on his campaign finance reforms as a payment to a porn star. And they're saying that because he was committing an election violation by not reporting accurately on his expenditure sheet and hiding from the public that he paid off a porn star, that's the underlying crime that makes the falsification of the business records a felony. That's the case they're making in New York. And that's just a bogus case. I don't know that anybody has ever gone to jail in the history of this country for violating the Federal Election Commission guidelines. Again, you pay a fine if you get caught. And more often than not, the Federal Election Commission, because it's a bipartisan appointed group, they rarely, if ever, even impose fines on political campaigns.
Jeff Smith would like to call to have a conversation with you. He went to jail over violation of federal election law.
Yeah, that was a bogus case, too. So, I mean, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that the jury of 12 people will find Donald Trump guilty, but I don't expect that's going to happen, and I don't think it should happen. And I'm no fan of Donald Trump's, but this case is just, I mean, it's a step too far, in my opinion.
And so here we are looking down the barrel of the election. It won't be too long. We'll have the Olympics. Right after the Olympics, we'll have the conventions, and then we're off to the races. This race is really, Missouri doesn't matter. Illinois doesn't matter.
Nope.
It's going to come down to four.
KMOX.
That's right, Cardinal baseball coming at you later this afternoon for your Memorial Day. But right now we go to the Celebrity Grass Line, where we're joined by Adrienne Sharp. She's with the Missouri Historical Society. She's the Managing Director of Communications. And very shortly, Adrienne, at 10 o'clock right here in downtown St. Louis, we've got a Soldiers Memorial Day celebration. Tell us all about it.
Yes, we do. We're honored to be able to host the celebration this year. The 399th Army Band's Jazz Quintet is going to be joining us. They're going to play national anthems and do taps. There's going to be a POW/MIA remembrance service by the St. Louis Service Women's Post 404. Also, American Legion Districts 11 and 12 and Post 77 are going to be represented in that ceremony. And we're going to have guests have yellow carnations out to represent the Gold Star families. And we're going to have people walk and lay them out at all six of the war memorials that we have down there.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing what's been done to the war memorial over the last several years, completely a facelift. A lot of folks may not have had an opportunity to enjoy the new facility. And coming down, starting at 10 o'clock this morning, you're going to have a lot of events. But that place, that war memorial, Soldiers Memorial in St. Louis, is really something. Tell us all of the new displays and things that are going on there on a regular basis.
So we have one thing that many people may not know is that we have a space downstairs that is a traveling exhibit space. And that space right now houses a wonderful, wonderful exhibit to Vietnam. It's called Vietnam at War and at Home. And it walks our visitors through what Vietnam was like with boots on the ground over in Vietnam. And then it lets you take a break and come back over and walk through what the experience was like for those here at home in St. Louis and the people who were, you know, whether they were supporting or opposing, or the people who were writing letters back to find out what was happening with their loved ones. And so, you know, we've done some great renovations over at the Court of Honor, where you can walk through and really take time to look at those who have, you know, given the ultimate sacrifice to our country here. So it's just been a really great time to really grow Soldiers Memorial Military Museum and let everybody in St. Louis know just how dedicated we are to the community.
Yeah, you know, Vietnam, interestingly enough, I believe, was the last war that where America employed the draft to get people. Since Vietnam, our military has been a volunteer force, and it had been a volunteer force before as well. That's unique in world history, to have a military as mighty as the United States that's all made up of volunteers. That's really quite a gift, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, just looking at how far we have come, you know, from, you know, how the wartime and our soldiers live, you know, in the Vietnam exhibit, there's a point where you can put in your birthday. And based on that, it'll tell you whether you would have been up for the draft and you put in all these good things. So, it's, you know, it's really a testament to where we've come and how much people want to serve our country.
And so today's festivities get underway at 10 o'clock. There's plenty of free parking all around. Give us the exact address so that people can put that into their GPS and get right down here.
So the exact address for Soldiers Memorial is going to be 1315 Chestnut Street.
Awesome. And that all takes place at 10 o'clock. She's Adrienne Sharp with the Missouri Historical Society. She's the Managing Director of Communications, and she invites you to join us as we honor our fallen American heroes today on Memorial Day. Adrienne, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
John, you know, growing up, Memorial Day was, you know, the start of the summer and the start of barbecue season. And The older you get, and we've been through these conflicts, and I've known people who've gone to war, known people who've lost their lives at war, mm-hmm. and you start to realize that it's not just a summer celebration, and hopefully a lot of people will take that moment to remember those who've given everything for our country.
You know, you think about, and I think about, my father, who was in the Army just after the end of World War II, his great-grandfather, who he knew, fought in the Civil War. And,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, that history, the Civil War, the bloodiest conflict in the history of this country, is not really that far removed from us. When you think of the broad swath of history, our country's young. There were people that fought in the Civil War that knew people that fought in the Revolutionary War. And then you had people who served. I'm thinking of Theodore Roosevelt Jr., who served in both World War I and then re-enlisted in World War II. He had walked around with a cane at that point and insisted on, and they let him, commanded one of the boats that landed on Omaha Beach on D-Day.
Really?
And got out of the boat with his cane, walked up the mount. He was taken incoming from the Germans, redirected his troops from the path that had been designed because he saw what the lay of the land, and they followed him. And he survived D-Day, and of course that was a tremendous victory for this country and for the world when the D-Day invasion was successful. And Theodore Roosevelt Jr., later on in the war, while he was still overseas, succumbed to pneumonia. He died before the end of World War II. And, there's heroes like that throughout the course of America's military history. The people who fought and liberated Kuwait back in 1990, some of the bravest soldiers. And they took on, and I remember there was so much fear about the Republican Guard.
Right.
Saddam Hussein's Republican Guard and the American troops and the tanks just marched right through them, and they freed the country of Kuwait. America, since the Mexican War in the 1840s, since that time, when we fight in a war, the only land we've ever taken from anybody is land to bury our dead. America is not a force that goes out trying to conquer the world. We're trying to free the world and instill democracy and democratic values throughout the world. We're not Russia invading a sovereign country of Ukraine, trying to take over and seize their land and destroy their government. Our military and our military heroes are worthy of being remembered today.
And we thank everyone for their service, for what they've done for this country. God bless you all. He's John Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly. When we come back, politics in the nation moves on. There's a president under trial. It could end next week. We'll talk about it after this on KMOX. John, it's almost June.
It is.
We have an election in November.
We do.
Pretty soon we'll have both of the candidates legally certified for the ballot. That'd be President Biden and President Trump facing off against each other, an exact repeat of the previous election. What's different? Well, this time, by this time next week, Donald Trump could be a convicted felon.
Yeah, he could. I don't think he will be. And I think this case, I never was a fan of this case. And I'm less of a fan of this case now that it's been tried and they've had the witnesses and so forth. What they're trying to do is he falsified business records. That's true. He paid off a porn star, which, that used to be bad for your political career. But he paid off a porn star, had his lawyer pay her off with his money, and then he reimbursed the lawyer for paying off the porn star, and they booked it on the business account as legal fees, which means it was pre-tax revenue.
Right.
So he falsified his business records. Typically, when you falsify business records, You get a fine. They flag you. You pay the fine, and you pay the taxes you owed, and then you pay the penalties and interest that accrue in that case is done. In this instance, they took the falsified business records, which is true, and they have now conflated it with he did that to conceal the payment and not and didn't report it on his campaign finance reforms as a payment to a porn star. And they're saying that because he was committing an election violation by not reporting accurately on his expenditure sheet and hiding from the public that he paid off a porn star, that's the underlying crime that makes the falsification of the business records a felony. That's the case they're making in New York. And that's just a bogus case. I don't know that anybody has ever gone to jail in the history of this country for violating the Federal Election Commission guidelines. Again, you pay a fine if you get caught. And more often than not, the Federal Election Commission, because it's a bipartisan appointed group, they rarely, if ever, even impose fines on political campaigns.
Jeff Smith would like to call to have a conversation with you. He went to jail over violation of federal election law.
Yeah, that was a bogus case, too. It's not beyond the realm of possibility that the jury of 12 people will find Donald Trump guilty, but I don't expect that's going to happen, and I don't think it should happen. And I'm no fan of Donald Trump's, but this case is just, it's a step too far, in my opinion.
And so here we are looking down the barrel of the election. It won't be too long. We'll have the Olympics. Right after the Olympics, we'll have the conventions, and then we're off to the races. This race is really, Missouri doesn't matter. Illinois doesn't matter.
Nope.
It's going to come down to four or five states, right? Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, maybe not even Ohio.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, certainly. Arizona,
yeah.
Nevada, Georgia. That's where it's going to be fought.
So
potentially North Carolina.
Yeah, potentially. But the most expensive election in modern history is really going to take place in five or six states. And the rest of us are going to fight over scraps. I don't know. Is the Electoral College still the right way to be running presidential elections?
Well, four of the last five presidential elections, the winner of the popular vote has lost the presidency. Four out of the last six, the winner of the popular vote has lost the presidency. That tells you something.
Yeah.
I do understand the value and wisdom in the Electoral College where you're trying to, because we do live in a federal republic and states have rights and states have their own government. States administer their own elections, and there is no other than the presidential race. There is no other national election. So our founders chose that we would conduct this national election through each state, and each state would be awarded electoral votes commensurate to their members of Congress plus their two U.S. senators. And the winner of the state would take all of the electoral votes from that state. And it does provide us an organized way to conduct a federal election in a federal republic.
Yeah, but more than 80% of us in these other states, whether you're in Missouri, Illinois, Texas, Kansas, California, you're not going to see these people. They're going to be spending their time talking to somebody in Pennsylvania or North Carolina. How much does somebody in Pennsylvania and California have in common? I mean, the presidential candidates are literally fighting over four or five states. And it's not really reflective of where the country's at when you consider that 80% of us live somewhere else.
Yep. I mean, but you could kind of make that case if you go to a popular vote, who's going to go to South Dakota? Who's going to go, they're going to go to the places where people live, the big cities, and turn out the vote. I mean, there's not a perfect system to do this. And there's been a lot of talk over the last several decades of getting rid of the Electoral College and just having a popular vote for president of the United States. And we may get to that at some point, but it would require amending. Well, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds, but essentially enough states would have to require their electoral votes to go to the winner of the national popular vote, so that it wouldn't matter what the vote in Missouri is. If, you know, Donald Trump gets more votes in the U.S. than the other guy, then all of Missouri's electoral votes, even if we voted for the other candidate, would have to go to. That's how you would make a national election out of the electoral college system that we have in place, because you can't. It's in the Constitution, so you can't just kind of wash your hands and say, "Ah, we're not going to do that anymore." So that's how it would happen. And there have been some movements over the years to do just that, and a number of states have adopted that provisionally, so that when the number of electoral votes exceeds 270 of states that agree to vote for the winner of the national popular vote, then that state's rules will change.
Do you think we're going to survive this election? We barely survived the last one, right? We had a challenge to our democracy.
Yeah,
I know some people call it tourism. Other people call it an insurrection. We have a presidential candidate now who's saying that he's not going to accept the outcome unless he wins.
Right.
We have the president who's running, who, I don't know, has got a tough road to hoe here. Do you think we can survive this election?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, no, yeah.
You're not concerned of a repeat of January 6th?
No. Well, I mean, you got to be vigilant. I don't think it's... I have to believe that the nation's capital will be better prepared to handle an uprising going forward than they were in 2020, or 2021, I guess, when that happened. But, you know, there's so much rhetoric out there about, you know, it's the end of our democracy and all. I think that's a little bit hyperbolic. But, I mean, you know, Donald Trump does not honor... institutional norms. That's part of his appeal to a lot of people. So, I mean, there's always a concern that, you know, anti-democratic movements could take over. I'm less concerned about that than others.
We've got a whole two more hours left for you right here. It's Hancock and Kelly taking you through your Memorial Day morning right here on the Mighty Mighty Mox.